Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So,
how weird is
like,
that?
You're like an old Hollywood story where like, you know, they found me on the streets, you know?
Yeah.
Like but the director goes, you belong in the on the stage.
This
you belong
is a guy
in the big
with
pictures.
Binoculars and he's like, that one. And then they put it down in a ledger and they're like, don't forget that one.
But did you hear old Hollywood stories?
No,
like
I
how
know.
Freaking Audrey Hepburn was discovered. She was like on a beach and a director was like, ooh, that's my Gigi. And she goes over and like, she'd been looking to cast this role and like, didn't find any actresses that fit. And then like this random girl on the beach, she's like, you. And
dude,
then,
you know what's funny is if Audrey Hepburn was my daughter, she'd have been like, go fuck yourself, pal.
I like how she has an old timey transatlantic accent still.
And welcome to the Shit That They Do Not Tell You podcast. My name is Steve Green.
That's not the name of our podcast.
Well, no. What are you talking about?
It's not do not tell you. It's don't tell you.
Oh, my God.
Don't
they get
ruin
it.
Our
wow. They get it. They know what
do
they clicked on.
Do not ruin our SEO. Oh. I need this.
Okay.
Okay. So,
welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Steve
Who
Green.
Who are you?
I'm Steve Green.
I'm Nikki
Limo. Call me Iceman. And we
no
are joined today by the wonderful, the incredible, an unbelievable person, one of our favorite people.
She is a K-pop star. She is a solo artist. She just released a new album called Curiosity. You can get it anywhere. And also, she had a video that just came out called Other People, and like, maybe I was in it. Maybe you can
you
catch
are
me.
In it.
Yeah.
You
maybe,
won't
maybe.
Stop talking
I don't know.
About
you'll have to watch
you
it.
You won't
and
stop
see.
Talking about it.
And she's about to go on tour. When does that happen?
January 17th.
Her name.
Sometime in February.
Which
her
is like
name
next
is
year.
Amber but, Lou, asshole.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
You didn't even say her name.
Fuck you. That's
okay,
her name.
I think I just like threw Nikki a shit ton of information.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yes, hi, everybody. I am Amber Lou. Nice to meet y'all.
I guess that's important, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're
I
like,
think so.
Well,
yeah.
Whoever's going on tour, I don't care. We're going to go see it.
This is like when we had Lisa on, and we talked about her book for 45 minutes without ever naming the book.
Yeah, and then
that
you said
happens,
the wrong
though.
Name of the book.
I sure did. She never plugged the book. You got to plug your shit.
All right, that's a different episode.
Right,
go watch that one. We're talking about Amber right
yes.
now.
Hi, guys. I was just talking with Nikki yesterday because, Steve, you were not there.
He wasn't invited.
I wasn't on
what?
JK yesterday.
Yeah,
but we alternate.
Whatever. I don't care.
I'm sorry,
anyways,
I'm sorry.
I was like, how do you guys talk for an hour and
so long?
It's like,
wait, what do you mean? How do we talk for
like,
an hour?
Like, how do you guys just keep talking? Like, do this thing, podcast them a boppers.
Well, my mom would say, how do you never fucking stop talking, Nikki? Like, how do you
that's for
do
sure.
you ever take a break
it's
from
a,
talking?
It's a talent.
Your mom's a smart woman.
Yeah.
She has good opinions.
Like, my jawline just gets tired after a while.
Yeah, I mean, other things have done that to my jaw. I wouldn't
that's
say.
That's for sure. I can name those things if you want, if you like.
I wouldn't say talking.
And I would actually love to name those things.
I get more like the throat burn.
Yeah.
And then like after this podcast, I'll be on the Hey Bitch podcast talking for another couple hours.
Great.
So, you know, it's just I think it's a muscle.
Yeah.
But I would ask you the same thing because how do you sing for hours and hours in rehearsal and dancing and
wow,
doing
nice
all
segue.
Of that?
Wow, that's a really good segue.
That was
thank
a
you.
Great segue.
Thank you. Guys.
You redeemed yourself as host.
Thank you.
Yeah, for messing up her name.
I have no idea because a lot of vocalists, that like my friend Justin Park, who I'm always with, like he says that he sings for like an hour and then he's dead after that. But I'd be rehearsing and I didn't even know. And I look at the clock and it's like 5 hours later. I'm like, oh, that happened. But I think that's
5 hours.
Yes, I think it's jeans.
Jesus.
Yeah. And,
like crossing
what
my fingers.
Jeans?
Like Levi's.
Okay. Okay.
H&M has really good ones. You know.
Dude, have Sick. You seen Madonna on tour? I only watched the YouTube video. So
who are
I'm
plugging right now?
No,
that
hold
is
on.
Not our guest.
Hold on. My point is, this chick sings live and dances the entire fucking time. And like, I won't watch the whole video. I'm not interested in her music. But I skipped to like 3 hours, 30 minutes in, and she's still singing and dancing and sounds like studio quality.
What if she took a break during those 3 hours and you just skipped ahead?
Or are there multiple
that would be
Madonnas?
A hell of a hat trick.
Definitely multiple Madonnas.
There could be multiple Madonnas.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
very true.
You know?
Also, after a certain point, the Illuminati replaces your voice.
Exactly.
And
very
starts
true.
To casually clone you.
Have you come close to anything resembling the Illuminati yet in your all of your stardom
That's
so far?
That's a good question.
Because, hey, those of you listening, you don't know who Amber is. Amber is actually like internationally famous.
How would they not know who she is?
No, I'm saying if they're listening because they're here for the vibe and they're here for our show.
Yeah.
And then they're like, who's this new guest? Then they're like,
who is
oh,
this
wow.
person?
Well, no, like my mom listens to the show.
Right. Okay.
So like she's not going to know. She's not going to know Amber's stuff. Like,
I will actually
no
say because I don't listen to K-pop music. Yeah. I'm just like too wrapped. I actually haven't updated my iTunes list since like 2004.
You're fine.
So I didn't. No, like we met on JK Party.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you're fucking cool. And then later found out that she's like, after we like posted an Instagram and they're like, how do you know her? And I was like, what are you talking
Everybody's
about?
Everybody's like, how do you know Nikki?
I know that.
I was on JK Party like a long time ago.
Like, how do you know the Tasty Tuesday lady?
Oh, it's just it just showed up in my life.
Yeah.
Offered me some coffee and some
cookies
and
some
I was
hugs.
Like, can I be adopted by you?
Yeah, and
pretty
I was
much.
Like,
you can't. That's
the
easy.
I don't
want to
give birth out of my vaginal canal.
I don't like the idea of people staying in our place for too long, but you doing that would be actually really fun.
Yeah. We can eat gummy bears together.
We can, that's out true. Of the fridge.
People don't know this, but me and Steve are going off on a fucking tangent about how we both love Haribo gummy bears in the freezer.
Specifically
in the
Haribo.
Fridge.
Has
in the fridge.
Fridge. Yeah, fridge. Oh,
she
yeah,
does
sorry,
freezer. Fridge for me.
I do freezer because there's a Haribo gummy that's like kind of like a gusher, but it's like white. It has like a white thing on the bottom and it looks like a kind of like a flower.
Oh, I know what
and
you're
it has
about.
Like the little gushy stuff inside.
What? I've
you
never
putting
seen
that
it
at in
World
the
Market.
Freezer is like a game changer. You
Oh, cuz you're that's a K-pop thing or like from your region of the world. In your region.
It's German. It's German,
hey,
asshole.
Haribo.
Hey, look, that's where my people are from. That's not where I'm from.
You can get it at World Market.
Okay.
Just do it.
But see, if you have to go to World Market to get the candy, it's not probably a recognized
you
candy.
You can get it at some Ralph's.
Okay.
Some Warm. Ralph's.
All right. Good to know. Okay, so let me just say, though, hot tip for everybody out there. Haribo gummy bears in the fridge. Mm-hmm. It has to be Haribo. Don't do this fucking Black Forest, whatever gummy shit.
Screw that.
Sucks. Okay. You want to have a great night tonight? Go get lemon sherbet or sorbet, whatever the fuck everyone calls it, and put Sour Patch Kids in that shit, and you're motherfucking welcome.
Wonderful.
It's a great
the
night.
Texture,
it's a great
out of
night.
This world. Out of this world. Sensational.
Great night.
Sensational.
Where did you do that? Yogurtland?
I haven't done it in 10 years, but I used to do it.
I used to love putting, like when you go to like the frozen yogurt shops, and then I even did this with ice cream. You just put the mini gummy bears. You can't get the regular size gummy bears.
Yeah.
You get the mini gummy bears, put that on your ice cream or whatever cold thing that you're eating, and then let it like sit there for like maybe like a minute.
Yep.
And then it'll freeze.
It's good.
And then you just bite into that. Well, don't bite hard, but just slowly bite into it. And it'll just become an ASMR.
Wow, ASMR sexuality thing. Really nice.
You know why I feel like she's working. Like this, though, is because of one of the topics that we were going to talk about. I was going to get to it later, but I feel like we could talk about it now. Is like, I asked her, what's some shit that they don't tell you about, like, being in the K-pop world? And you were talking about, yesterday, you touched on this, about, like, they put you on strict diets. Like,
I feel like, especially at that time, like, the internet, and like everybody was getting along and like, you know, everybody's just sharing information. But it was never like, because right now the health like consciousness of America is like, you know, getting up there. But
we had to. It was kind of an emergency situation.
Food pyramid. Really nice stuff.
And then Asia right now is getting on that as well. But it's like, it's still like, oh, being skinny is good. But to be really honest, when you like when you're working, you're going around to from schedule to schedule, mm-hmm. and you're not sleeping very much. I'm dancing at least like 5-6 hours a day.
Damn.
Memorizing moves
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
Memorizing moves.
I'm
memorizing
trying
moves.
To make it relatable for everybody. I think.
Choreography.
Like, your body does not work like that without rest and nutrition and like a proper like just a proper diet
yeah.
in general. Like, and it's like my trainer told me like if I'm tired, don't move, just go to sleep, because you know our bodies just can't. You just need rest. Everybody just go to sleep.
Yeah, that happened to me earlier.
Yeah, like long naps.
Yeah.
What about the Illuminati question?
Oh,
secret society. Anything?
They put me on the diet.
Yeah,
it was them.
Yeah,
you
I knew it.
You jest, but I feel that many people who jest about this subjects are actually that's what they're told to do.
Honestly, I don't like the Illuminati. It's a conspiracy theory, right? You guys have been on conspiracy theories these days, haven't you?
We're on a little kick. Unquote. We're on a little kick, yeah. You might say.
I actually, I've been hearing rumors that certain executives, like also, like they've entered Asia. Like I've heard that, but I'm all like, I haven't seen anything, to be really honest.
Got it. Good, okay. Fair.
I'll let you know.
Thank you very much.
Keep those tabs. Next time on the show, I'll be like, I found the Illuminati.
I appreciate it.
No, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. So you're Chinese. Mm-hmm. But you were born here.
Yes.
Did you always want to be a K-pop star, or like, well, how the fuck did it happen?
So I grew up in, where did I grow up at? West Hills. Sorry, West Hills. West Hills. It's the valley. It's where this comes from.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes when I get really excited, this comes out, and I do the hand. People in the video, you see me doing this a lot. It's where the valley.
Are you too young for whatever?
Loser, loner, Walmart shopper.
Loser, loser, double loser, something, something, whatever. Yeah.
No, just Walmart shopper.
Major loser.
Major, no,
which
major
is
loser
the greatest there. Loser of all, apparently, in kids' land.
I grew up in a pretty like white dominant like area, and so I was really, really out of touch with like my Chinese culture or any Asian culture at that point. But my mom could only speak Mandarin with me, so I would never really speak in Mandarin to her, but she was like, oh, let's go to Taiwan for a trip, and so I went with her. I was like, oh my gosh, it's this different world. And then my dad took me to like Beijing and like Shanghai, and then we started traveling Asia a little bit more.
And how old were you at this point?
I was like maybe 12.
Okay,
11.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I was like, I kind of want to get in touch with this other world. So I wasn't really into I was just big into Asian music. So I liked J-pop, I liked C-pop, I like K-pop.
What's the difference?
Languages.
Okay. So J-pop, Japanese pop, K-pop, J-pop, Korean pop.
Pop, C-pop, Chinese pop.
Got it.
How did you learn all those languages?
Just be a nerd.
Okay, okay.
Watch a lot of anime. Like,
That helps.
Yeah, watching
culture
dramas.
Helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
all that
stuff. Culture.
Yeah. So I had a J-pop phase, obviously, and I had a C-pop phase, and then K-pop phase happened, and then my best friend's Korean, so he brought me out to K-Town. He was like, oh, there's this festival, we should just check it out and have fun. Someone taps me on the shoulder, hey, do you sing or dance? And I'm like, I have no idea what language you're speaking, because they're speaking Korean. And then so my friend
how did you know to listen to them? Could have been anybody.
I know, right? So I was like, friend, translate. And then they were from my former label, and they were like, oh, we're scouting, would you please come to this audition?
Wait, just based off your look?
Yeah, just based off my looks.
And I love how you have different hair color every time I see you.
I know.
You do.
Thank you for my hairstylist. Try.
Shout out.
So I was like kind of like really sus about the whole situation.
Yeah, a guy just randomly approaches you,
yeah,
like,
so,
hey, we're having auditions, and you look like a singer.
You look like a singer. You look like you have many talents. Would you like to come to Asia? Okay, backtracking. Like a month later, there was an open OC audition, they remembered me, and they liked me, so they were like, okay, here's the third round.
At this point, have you sung for anybody yet? Are you in
this,
rooms?
At the OC audition, blah, 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 blah. English is very hard.
That's
it
okay.
is.
Yeah.
It was
especially
your first
when
language.
You know so many languages in your head.
when I was in the OC auditioning, they were like, sing, dance. I two-stepped for my dancing. And then they were like really impressed. They're like, oh, you actually sing. And I'm like, Kind of.
And at that point, had you sung a lot?
I was doing church stuff, like church, okay, like praise team, and I was interested in music, but I never thought of it as a career because I was like, I'm gonna be a scientist and I'm gonna make engineering stuff.
Oh,
and
so you were a nerd, nerd.
Wow, yeah. One less like scientist in the world, everybody.
I'm sorry, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Sorry. I'm trying to save the earth in different ways.
There you go.
So I got through that round, and then they have like a private audition, and then they flew me to Korea, signed the paperwork, done. But yeah, like what I heard later on was that the founder of my label, SM, the actual, it's SM Entertainment, the actual guy, SM.
Yeah.
He saw me in the crowd, told his employee to go get me.
Oh.
So that's why they like remembered me. They knew like when I was coming and what audition. So like they were like, you know, like laser eyes, like looking
that's
for me.
That's wild.
Yeah. So
how weird is
you're
that?
You're like an old Hollywood story where like, you know, they found me on the streets, you know.
Yeah.
Like but the director goes, you belong in the on the stage.
This
you belong
is a
in
guy
the big
with
pictures.
Binoculars and he's like, that one. And yeah, then they put it down in a ledger and they're like, don't forget that one.
But did you hear old Hollywood stories?
No,
like
I
how
know.
Freaking Audrey Hepburn was discovered. She was like on a beach and a director was like, ooh, that's my Gigi. And she goes over and like she'd been looking to cast this role and like didn't find any actresses that fit. And then like this random girl on the beach, she's like, you. And
dude,
then,
you know what's funny is if Audrey Hepburn was my daughter, she'd have been like, go fuck yourself, pal.
I like how she has an old-timey transatlantic accent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like for us, it's like it's creepy. It's like,
exactly.
Hey, hello. Would you like to be a pop star? It's like, are you trying to fuck me? Bye bye.
Right.
You know? Do they have like unions and stuff in
I know they do, but it's like I don't know like for like SAG and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and like for the entertainment
from
industry.
From what I know, there isn't. I might be wrong though. Mm-hmm. But like in Korea, like the whole industry is way different because like coming here and working in America, it's like, wow, the laws and the, you know, stuff that you gotta do in
lots of pyrotechnic accidents, I will say. Are you next to a lot of pyrotechnics?
No, but my sister used to work in pyrotechnics.
Oh, nice.
So.
Shit.
Yeah, it's great. So
she flies planes now.
Yeah, she flies planes now.
That's sick.
She kept interrupting JK News yesterday because she kept flying
her
plane.
She was flying a plane over.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'm very used to like not having sleep and like working for like 25 hours a day,
oh my
you know?
God.
So,
yeah.
And it's a little bit like extreme for me, but like recent, like it's been like a year or two since I've kind of like come back and like learned about the industry here and like, oh, people actually have lives, people actually have hobbies that they actually like get off of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a thing. So I'm trying to integrate that more into my head. And yeah, because like when in Korea, like we would literally not be sleeping, going from one place to one place, and our road manager would be like falling asleep. And you know, it's like kind of sad to a certain point, but it's just like seeing how hard people work in the Korean industry. Like we have to show, we have a call time of 3 a.m but the crew had to get there. They probably didn't even go home.
Oh, call time for tours 3 a.m.
Yeah, like 3 a.m. and holy stuff, shit. Like for like show recordings and all that stuff. It's insane. And like our music videos, 3 days. Like straight. Like
actually seems pretty good to me. I'm like, that's not bad.
No, but you're thinking 3 days of like 12-hour shoot days.
Oh,
or something.
I see.
This is like it's actual 3 days. Like people don't
in
sleep.
A row. Like of just like completely not sleeping.
They got energy drinks for you at least?
Yeah, they have coffee and
they
all
have nap
stuff.
Rooms.
But holy cow.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. But we just sleep in the car mostly.
I feel like my body just naturally shuts down. Like when it's tired, it just like it's actually gotten to a point where I fell asleep driving a few times where I'm like, I'm not allowed to drive after a certain
that's
hour
for sure.
At night. Yeah. But I don't understand how people can do it.
Yeah, and it's like now that I'm driving and I'm like, I use that as an excuse, like, guys, like, don't, like, I can't go out now because I need to drive to so-and-so place an hour away for work. And because I remember doing one of the shoots for my mixtape. I was driving in like Roland Heights, and it's like, you know, it's pretty like chill there. There's not a lot of, there's no LA traffic, which is amazing. But we didn't sleep, and it was a 2-day shoot, and I literally veered off into the opposite side of the road and I almost hit a car. So I was like, okay, we're taking a nap. I'm Xing out all these scenes and we're just going to take a nap. So yeah, it's just like,
so there
and now
is a breaking point and you can voice your protestations.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't,
thank you.
I'm the most, I can actually genuinely feel happiness like when I'm like well rested or when yes. I get some type of sleep. And also like people around, like you guys too, like people around you like value like, oh, you should get some rest
mm-hmm. right.
and actually meaning it. Because people like, you know, I kind of feel like working in the K-pop industry for so long, sometimes to a point like even our team is like, oh yeah, get some rest. But it's more of a, just like a formality to say now. You don't actually mean it. But I Korea, like they are like they're so hardworking though. It's just like it's just kind of like I wish people got more sleep though.
Yeah, I feel like this has just been a recent thing because people get on Americans for being like nonstop working. Like we have fast food, we don't take breaks. We're like very like work and like
5-day
success oriented. Like very like I don't know, like success is defined by status and like how much income you make, and you get that by working hard and all this stuff, to the point where like a lot of other countries are like, how do you raise a family, you know, how do you like, you know, do this other stuff. And a lot of people are having hard times balancing, and then that's why I feel like there's been this resurgence of self-care, and like you hear self-care all the time now because people are like, yeah, you know what, this whole like working nonstop thing is like not good for our health, turns out.
And it's like, kind of like that whole like prejudice against like, oh, you need to have money to be successful and happy. But it's like to be really honest, like I've been number one before. I've like made a lot of money before. I've lost a lot of money.
God, you gamble it away. What'd you do?
Bad investments, bad people.
Got it.
Yeah.
Real quick. So before you get to money, before we get to why you're so tired now, you get like basically taken from, you're in K-Town.
Yeah.
You get taken and inserted into this space. Yeah. Like they put you on a team, like with a group of people.
So the way that, I don't know about how the training system works now, and how even like how they go about their trainees and all that stuff. But like when I was training, there's just like we just show up at the company building, maybe at like what, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., like probably stay there till like 10 p.m.
And this is in Korea or here?
This is in Korea.
Okay.
And they're like, you're with these people now. This is your
team. So what they do is like every week, there's like a weekly test of like what you did. So like you would sing a song, you would dance some choreography, and then maybe like do some like, you know, I learned an impression this week or something like that. And then every 6 months they have like a big showcase for the trainees. So for usually every big showcase, that's when they actually start piecing people together. So when I actually went into the company, my three members, Luna, Crystal, and Sully, were actually in kind of like in a maybe group at that time, like a quote unquote maybe group.
They kind of already knew each other.
Yeah, they already knew each other. They're already practicing together. They've already performed at a couple showcases together. And then Victoria, she was focusing on becoming a model and an actress in China. So everybody's just doing their own thing. And then I went in the mix. And then when my first showcase came around, I think that's when they started piecing us together.
Did you have to learn Korean at this time?
So before we went to the company building at like 1 or 2 p.m.-ish, I would have Korean class in the morning. So I would be going to class at like 9. So I would like wake up early, take a bus, go to Korean class, do that for like 3-4 hours, come get off the bus, go to the company building, practice till 10 p.m., sleep or not sleep, and then repeat that over and over again.
Sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
It was actually, to be honest, it was actually fun because especially the first couple months, I did start feeling lonely around like the 6 month mark, but it was really fun to just when you're living in the valley and like there's like nothing but just houses, you're bored.
Yeah, and plus like you're doing something creative, like you said, you show each week like what a new thing you learn, like you learn an impression or like you learned a new song or dance. Like I feel like that stuff's so fun, and like you're. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but like
it's not fun for 10 hours.
You're learning new things. I don't know. I think that when you get passionate about something, you think it's fun to like do something for a longer
time. Also know that I was 15 at this time.
Oh wow.
So I was really young. So
excited, a lot of energy.
Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, cool, new people. Like I can actually walk to a 7-Eleven. Like, oh, this is awesome. Like I've never been able to walk to a 7-Eleven before.
That's the exciting part. Yeah.
And at that point, other than exhaustion, is there like pressure? Or is it like, hey, you gotta get better at this, you gotta do better at that?
Yeah, it is. And there's like, it's just like what you can typically imagine. Like, people are just like, you need to do better at this. You're always kind of like in this. I never had this because I trained actually for a very short amount of period of time.
Right.
Just because I trained for about a year and a half. So I was in no like way nervous of being quote unquote cut, just because like it's only been that long. It's only been like, oh, it's only been like a couple months. But like everybody's just excited to debut, to be really honest. The weird part is, and we start off with five members, and then usually one person would like get busy, and so only four of us could perform. So we would have to rearrange the choreography, and then you know, and if say if Crystal's missing, so there's a non-Crystal version, so we'd perform as four, and blah blah blah, something would happen. And then okay, oh, Luna has to do a show, so we have a non-Luna version.
Oh, so
and
you're then, memorizing like five versions of
five versions of the choreography, along with like also sharing parts. We have to go back and record the backing vocals just in case, like there's like, so there's continuity. So they had like 20 versions of their choreography, because maybe two people might be missing, or you know,
it's like Broadway.
Yeah. Wow. It's insane how hard people work. I think that's why, you know, like fans are so protective of me, you know, and whatever every other group.
I totally get that. Yeah.
These, like, they know how hard we work, and then we also know how hard they work. Cause dude, fans are waiting at like 1 a.m. to stand in line to just see us perform at one show. And then this music program circuit, which is like when we start quote unquote promoting, most promotions last at most like maybe 2 months, like average. Probably it's usually even right now for the more settled groups, like maybe like a month to maybe three weeks ish.
And you're still in your group, right?
We're not disbanded at all.
But then you also just went solo recently.
Yeah. Basically, when you promote something, it's hell for those month-to-month periods, because you're just not sleeping. You basically have a music show. There's actually a music show, I think, almost for every day of the week.
Wow.
So there's, I think there's four main ones. So it's Friday. Four main ones. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then there's other ones that you can go on. And then basically you go on that show. You have a sound check, you do whatever, you have two rehearsals, and then you have something called like a pre-recording, where you actually pre-record your stage, but then you also have to be there for the live broadcast, where you actually, it's a formality to go up while you're performing, even though they're broadcasting what you guys already pre-recorded, it's a formality to also be in front of the fans to just even perform there.
So are you singing in front of the fans, or is it all pre-recorded?
The pre-recorded stuff, you're supposed to sing live.
I see. But it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's like this lip syncing is a whole other conversation. We'll get into that. But yes, you're supposed to. These are supposed to be live performances. But because the lineups, because they have to jumble around the whole like list of people that are performing that day. Sometimes, back to back, these two people cannot work. So we'll add in a pre-recorded one.
Got it.
So that they can have some setup time. And it's also like usually when people have like their album like releases, which is their comebacks, quote unquote, it's usually the stage is done a little bit and set up a little bit more differently. So it's like it's a whole thing. So you do that for the whole day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday usually have time for like variety shows or some other interviews or whatever debacle that you guys needed, whatever that group needs to do. And then you start it over Thursday.
Oh my God.
Some people do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like they keep going on these shows, and those take up like the whole day, and then you probably insert like two or three more like interviews or appearances in between.
So is there ever like burnout?
Oh, I think from there it's just autopilot, because I think when I get really tired, I just start going on autopilot, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna do this. I just don't like, I don't know, it just happens. I just start zoning out a lot, and then I just keep working.
Does it ever affect, do you feel like an effect on like the type of stuff you put out when you're like that exhausted, or is it just so like autopilot that you're like,
I think when I started so young,
it's
just very natural.
It's
for
like
me
riding a
but
bike.
Now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to see me like actually like I actually pass out on the couch when I get home.
Oh my god.
Like I still have like 5 billion things to do and like desk work, but then I'm like on my couch, maybe like petting my dog and watching TV and doing my emails, and then I just suddenly go.
So being in a group like this, if you have an idea and you're like, I want to do this song, I think we should do it like this. Is there an avenue for that, or is it like no dice?
At first, it's very much the label will tell you and direct you how to do it.
And they're like, "This here's the song. You guys are doing this
song. Yeah, doing this. Yeah.
Got it.
As we got a little bit more into the more senior like bracket of the whole bunch, we do start voicing our opinions.
So as you build a fan base and you get more popular, then you can start to have input.
So there was, but like the major decisions are mostly just done by the label. Plus, like there's what's so hard about our like the whole construct of most K-pop companies. There's so many people. In the mix, you have like your design team, you have the video team, you have the like the actual styling, which is different from like the art department. It's like it's all this crazy like stuff, and then you have to get everybody's opinion, and everything has to go through one bracket of one bracket of confirmation, and then it streams back down, and then this person's waiting on this person, this person's waiting on this person.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a lot of waiting. So for me, it personally got to a point where I just like I don't want to have an opinion. And I'm just kind of like, I'll just to do the least amount.
You got browbeaten a little bit.
Yeah. So I'll just wait. And because like, honestly, for group wise, like I didn't really have any, like, I don't like this.
Mm. Yeah.
I probably like say like, oh, instead of wearing this, could I just wear this? And that's like an easy fix.
Oh, I see. Know? Okay.
So, but like later on, definitely when we record music, we would definitely listen to the person directing us to sing. But for me, like, because I started writing my own music and I started, now I started developing an opinion.
Yeah.
One
of those cumbersome opinions.
So diva-ish. Ugh. I would just be like, oh, do you mind if I just try it this way one time? And they'd be like, yeah, go ahead and record it. And then we record. And then it's just like a lot more scary when you first start off because you don't know anybody. Everybody knows more than you. But then now I'm starting to like, I started becoming more confident in, I don't know about my other members, but for me personally, I became more confident in who I was. And I started just suggesting like, hey, I've actually tried to sing it this way and this way. Can I do it this way? And then they will be all like, okay, cool. Yeah.
That's great.
When it comes time to, you're talking about exhaustion, working so hard. Like,
wait, really quickly, because I don't want to exhaust this.
Okay, real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about Amber's process. How do you go solo and how do you write when you're exhausted?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. We back. Okay. Did you miss us?
I missed us.
They probably did it.
Damn. Probably not, because they were probably listening to us talk about something on the break.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you saying?
Yes, so you write yourself. You said you're exhausted all the time. You're in so many rehearsals, so many, you know, choreographed sessions, all this stuff. I don't even know if I said that right. How do you start to even think about going solo, writing a song, all this stuff?
So I like, my relationship with music is that it's a form of expression, and it's like stories, like it's actual people's stories. And then I find a lot of comfort through music compared to other things. So I kind of was I felt like I was losing my connection with music. So I've always written music and dabbled in that stuff, but I never like took it seriously. And obviously in a group, you just do what you're told. That's basically what it is. And I kind of need another outlet to kind of become sane. Mm-hmm. So I started writing my own music. I actually never intended to go solo because I liked doing group stuff. I just thought, like, you know, to a certain point when we get more on the senior bracket, I could start, you know, asking like, hey, can I put out my own album? I think it just came to a point where there are many periods of time where our group wasn't promoting as much just because some of my members act. And the schedules wouldn't match up.
When you say your members, you're talking about everyone else in the group, right?
Yeah, my other members.
Actors.
Yes.
Got it.
A lot of them are acting. I just kind of wasn't working a lot. So I kind of was like, I don't want to sit around at home and not do anything. I kind of need to do something. And I should, if I can't, you know, if I don't know how to make music, then I'm going to try to make music. And because that's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
Because, like, to be really honest, I don't mind being tired. I don't mind it. I really don't. Because it's just, I love what I do. But I think it just wasn't fulfilling enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because my group was doing great. We're cool. But they're...
You were lacking the expression that you were...
Yeah, because that's what... I don't want people to think I'm a K-pop, like an actual idol. That's what they call, like, my type of artist is an idol. And I, you know, if to...
You're an artist.
I mean, like, I want to be a human being. How about that? I want to be human because I'm not perfect, and being seen as perfect, it's like, no, you got the wrong idea. I'm going to disappoint the fuck out of you.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like everything was just so, like, we can't say things. Like, I remember when I was first debuting, they told me not to smile.
What?
Because they wanted me to be this cool tomboy. Like, I get the intent.
I see. I get the image thing. Okay.
And it's just like, but behind that image, though, there
is... You're such a smiley person.
The most.
I can't imagine you, like...
I know, I'm cute. Thank you very much.
That's not what I said.
So yeah, you've been in this since you're 15. How do you find yourself when you're in such a group setting like that and getting told who you are?
So that was the weird thing for me, because I kind of felt like I was losing who I was, and or like I never got to explore who I was. You know, people tell me this a lot, that they're like, "You like girls, don't you?" I'm like, I haven't even processed my, like, emotions to, like, even think about who I like or what I like. Like, don't
That's
choose
such an
for
aggressive
me.
Way of, like, approaching someone. Just, hey, you like girls?
Eat this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I've gotten that. It's like, I for the record, I will not reveal my sexuality because it's nobody's business.
I
like to, you know, keep it, you know.
I also will not
mystery.
Reveal my sexuality.
I have a feeling I know, but, yeah.
Well, it's not your business.
Okay.
I know. I know it. It's like really none of their business.
Yeah.
Or like, it's just like things that are like, you need to like this. You need to do this because this is the only way to do it. Like, I hated being told, like, it's not that I hated being told that. I just felt like.
You were put in a box.
I was put in a box, and like, I couldn't live like a sane life. On top of also just being tired all the time.
Yeah. Like, part of the fun of life is, like, getting to discover different parts of yourself and, like, being like, oh, do I like this? Oh, no, I don't like that. Ooh, I kind of like this. And, like, it's like a fun process when someone's just like, hey, you like this now. Hey, you look like this. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is who you are. And they just define it for you. It's kind of sucks all the fun out.
And, like, one thing that, like, was really, like, weird that to me was, like, dating. Like, there's, like, a social, like, understanding that these K-pop idols should not date.
Date at all.
Like, date at all.
Wow. Like, and not each other, like, nothing.
It's a little bit different. It's way different now. But back then, like, you could probably lose your career.
Back then is like what, 10 years ago?
Wow. Yeah, 10 years ago. Okay. Yeah, you would lose your, like, you could, you had the possibility of losing your career.
Wow.
Just for dating?
Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's if they catch you, or like if tabloids out there who like take pictures of you.
Yeah, they could, like, you could get a lot of backlash from the public, especially women at that time, because, you know, I don't know why. Actually, don't know why girls got more heat back then. I don't know. But.
Well, because it makes you more wanted when you're not with somebody. Like,
yeah, I guess it's that. That's the thing. I don't understand it, because I think liking someone is a very natural human emotion.
Totally.
Yeah.
And a lot of like great love songs, you know, that are out there are from actual love experiences. But if we can't even empathize with what we're singing, how is that going to put like more integrity into like our, you know,
no wonder
music?
you started feeling so disconnected from,
yeah,
from,
because it's literally just words that I'm singing and there was nothing else. Like, again, like, I'm so thankful for everything I did with my members, and we put out some really good music, and I'm really happy like that we were able to do everything. But it was just kind of like, there's also a different side to music, and I just kind of like wanted to connect with, I felt like our fan base, like, or in people in general, like, you guys find comfort through entertainment or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I feel like if I don't even know what I'm singing, how am like that? I'm a fraud.
Yeah. Entertainment and art is about sharing stories, and like, that's how people connect to you. So yeah, if you don't have your own story, it's someone's giving you a story to tell. I can totally see that. Yeah.
In the K-pop world, is homosexuality chill over there? Is it
it's
weird?
Pretty conservative over there. Okay. There are actually a lot of you know, LGBTQ people in the industry, and so and there's a lot of support for it now. So I just want to like.
But 10 years ago, it was very puritanical.
Oh yeah, very, very. It's actually, there's like, I correct me if I'm wrong, people, but there are probably like, I think maybe like two people that are actually right now out, like officially out, that are like celebrities.
And they didn't suffer from it.
Oh yeah, they lost. It's basically like almost an Ellen DeGeneres situation. They like, they came out and then they lost everything.
Shit.
And then recently, it's this guy named Hong Seok Chung Chun. My gosh, my Korean's so bad right now. but yeah. So he.
Oh, you did it great.
Yeah, but he's gone back up as a variety, a personality, and also a really successful businessman. So
he rebranded himself.
Yeah. So, times are changing, and I'm excited that I'm just really happy that maybe, hopefully, K-pop idols now can kind of feel less pressure to be like, not like be like, what do you call it, non-human, like, no wait, what am I saying?
No, I'm saying to be plastic, to be like cut out.
They don't have to feel pressure to do that, because I know that, oh dude, I was told to get plastic surgery.
Whoa.
Like, they wanted me to do like my nose and my, like,
to look like what?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's, for me, it's like, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
well, if it's your choice.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, like, cause like the whole thing is like, oh, you should get it.
That's the crazy thing.
It's like,
but
wait,
you.
I like, again, it's like a whole thing with like, it's just like, I haven't even developed like an actual like opinion about myself. Don't decide for me.
Right.
You know? But yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, I wanted to get out of that. And, you know, I think I'm Nikki probably knows this, but I'm very analytical. I'm just
yes,
like,
very.
Guys.
I know too from JK Party, man. No. You go there.
Oh, yeah.
You go there.
Did I catch you as Mafia that time?
A couple times, yeah.
Yes.
And in Salem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very good. But I kind of feel like the business structure of. In the end, like, with all these like human, like moral ethics and things internally in me, the reason why I kind of decided to like leave my label finally after like 10 years was because of actually the business structure of everything, and like the workflow and the work relationships on the business side was what I didn't like.
Yeah, and this is some shit they don't tell you.
Yeah, that shit they don't tell
and
you.
And especially when you're 15 getting plucked off the street.
Yeah. Like I feel like when you are an entity, like, say, like my group,
yeah,
like the label controlling everything is great, and it's, I know that it's a thing here as well, like labels will tell the artist what to do with their contracts, like that's what a partnership is and blah blah blah, we get it. But it's when you're a group and you're the face of the group, in the end, whatever the business people set up. Who's doing the executing? It's us. Mm-hmm. It's the people who use their face to be like, oh, we are executing this. And it goes on to our face. Because in the general sense, say if my manager were to set up something and I did it and I fucked up. That's that. Who gets the embarrassment?
You're the
product. Me. I get.
People
I get
don't like the song.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
In the end, it's my face, my voice. Yeah, they'll be like, "Oh, this person was managing the person at the time," but then still, they it's not their face though.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you can't change your name and just be a different.
It's like when I worked at a restaurant and like someone didn't like their food and then they blame me for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one serving them the food.
Right.
Because you're like you're the face. They can't go yell at the kitchen staff or whatever. Or exactly. If it was late or whatever, it's like you're the person.
And like, say if like. My team screwed up. It's still Amber Lou's team screwed up.
Right.
You know, it's attached to my face. So, like having that like responsibility of like I feel responsible for my team always. So when I was with my group, sorry, my team, my business team, right now.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, with my actual like group FX, I kind of felt it was easier for us to talk amongst ourselves, decide. And then tell the label, like, this is what we have. Do you guys have your any other suggestions? But to have everything done, already done in, like, the final stages, it got confirmed on the back end and we didn't even know about it and they told us. It's like, we're actually kind of against it. And then, but they already went through all that work. So it's just kind of, it's inefficient. The communication lines are very, very complex and it's all over the place because... We have to talk to one manager. This manager has to talk to five different people to get one thing confirmed.
Mm.
So it's it works. There are a lot of success stories in that type of structure. But I think for me personally, and I guess the way that I view an artist going running their business, I don't think it's efficient.
So what exactly did you leave? Because you said you're still with your group.
So I'm still with the group, but we just haven't disbanded. But okay. Me as a person, I'm contracted to like, I have my own thing now.
Okay, got it.
And I have my team. Okay. So it's just more like independent. It's like done, like me and my team, we're so sleepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I'm sleepy, but they are way more sleepy. But everything is getting done. Or like, even if we're making mistakes, we can fix it really fast because we don't have to contact five different people to go fix something.
And you're free. And I think that I feel like that lifts. It's like a, it's like as a creative person, I think you need a little bit of that freedom in order to create that expression and like really feel good about the stuff.
Well, the biggest like I think the reason why that weight is off my shoulders is because when you are in a so the Korean structures right now kind of like what like those old school labels back then in the 50s like when it would be like. They encompass not only your management, the label, and the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one thing that I want, like, a lot of people don't understand about. This is the shit they don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
When you are contracted, in one contract, but with three sides of your, really important sides of your career, and you have a problem with the company, you can't work if you want to go into a lawsuit.
Right.
If you retaliate against them or something, it's a conflict of interest to have a management label and an agent all in one contract. I know it's not as common now, but I know that some people have like a indie label and a management in one thing, but it's two separate contracts.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it's supposed to go. And then your agent is like another third party as well.
Right.
But then because say if like, you know, I remember when... I forgot the artist, but one American artist was in a lawsuit with something. They were still able to work and make money because they had no problems with the other sides of their team. So it's hard. I think it's very, very scary for a lot of artists, K-pop artists or whatever artists in these 360 all-encompassing deals is that when you the moment you say like, hey, I have a problem, all sides are against you now. You make all of them your enemy. But your management, if everything was separated, my management's always looking out for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know that whole stereotypic agents, like that whole like, oh my gosh, agents.
Managers like, are the ones that like are there to have your back.
Yeah, have your back.
They know you.
Mm-hmm. And then like the music side, like your label's distributing and like, you know, marketing your music and like trying to get you out there on tours and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then you have your agents who are just business. They're just going to get you, throw you deals, trying to make the deal for you.
You're just a number.
Yeah. So everything's getting filled, but your management's your team.
Yeah.
And what's hard is that when I was in my old former label, I didn't want to, like, when you make someone mad, I don't know who's going to like say what. And that's why, like, when I had a when I was like talking to them about my stuff, like, I don't know who's on my side, because the management in the end has to listen to the label, because everything's in one company, right. You know, it's, again, there are many success stories with that type of style. It just was very not,
well, I'm sure,
my
if you're
style.
Very agreeable and like that, yeah. You love everything that, yeah, that they're doing, yeah, at all times,
you're,
and you don't have,
yeah,
any opposing, yeah, opinions, then yeah, there's, you're gonna have some, yeah, success there.
So how do you get to the point you are now? You just wrote an album, you did Curiosity, it's a solo album, you're, yeah, you got a blank page, you get to write whatever you want, mm-hmm, you get to figure out who you are. How do you start that?
So I'm just always in the studio here and there. I just will write music. I have a bunch of like voice notes that like have ideas for, and I'll just keep it in my phone until like I'm like, oh, I know the right producer, or oh, I should work on it a little bit more before I go into the studio. And then I just start compiling after I'm done making the demos. So my album is actually named X. Sorry, I gave you a lot of information that was actually wrong. the latest single is Curiosity.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. My bad. But technically,
she told me
that album.
I'm sorry.
That
I'm sorry,
bad,
guys. Sorry.
It's
brain
X,
fart,
though. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, X. X is my album
Take it
name.
Back to the top.
Yeah, so I basically just compiled, like, what I wanted for my next album was like, oh, I want a fresh start. So I started like going through songs that kind of like, where they were all kind of written in the time frame of like when I was trying to find who I was, because X, the meaning is, you know, I want to start new. I want to cross out all the bad shit in my life. It also represents 10, because it's my 10th,
oh,
anniversary,
yeah,
as
Roman numerals.
Roman numeral 10, and it's my 10th anniversary as an artist. So like,
and it
it's
represents
also a sick
straight
letter.
Edge.
It's also
straight
very
edge.
Very
straight
sick
edge.
Letter.
Straight edge.
So yeah, I start compiling all this together, and then yeah, it just became what it was. I don't know. These things are very natural to me. So when people ask me to explain it, I'm like, I don't know. It just comes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. You have an artist brain. Yeah.
You're one of those people that I hate.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, because a lot of people have to work real hard, and they have to sit there and like really rack their brain about it. And you're just like, I just wrote it, and it's great.
No, what's interesting though is you were telling me that your parents didn't think you were gonna be the...
Yeah, my parents thought I was gonna be the brainchild. And yeah, my sister was going to be the wild entertainment, like, you know, crazy one, which she is, but it's kind of flipped.
A pilot.
Now she's a pilot.
For airline.
Yeah, my sister, like, she is so smart, and she dabbled in a lot of, like, showbiz, and like, she was, like, interning for a lot of, like, management companies and marketing, blah, blah, blah. But she, growing up, she was the musically talented one. She was the one who was very, very comfortable on stage. Mm. She plays flute, piccolo, saxophone. She was in the orchestra. She was really good. She was a swimmer. You know, she did all these things. I was just kind of like, I like dabbling in skateboarding.
Oh, she really hates you.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, what if you had a sister who's connected who could help you? Oh, no, I guess not.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then she decided to recently go into flight school. And
yeah,
then,
that's badass.
Yeah, so she's still crazy in her own way.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you think of the piccolo on my new album? I think the girl did it really well.
The piccolo on my album is my sister. No, yeah. Just kidding. But, yeah, for me, like, growing up, I was always in school. Like, I was just studying. I just wanted to get a good college. I want to get a stable job.
Yeah, you wanted a STEM career.
Yeah.
One less woman in the STEM field. I say good.
Sorry, guys.
I say good.
No, thing. What's so cool though is like you could live this since you started so young in this field at 15. Like you're 27 now. You could literally like start a whole new life as a scientist, and then it'll
That's
be
true.
Just a fun fact. Like, did you know that the scientist that discovered fucking trans?
I should be Bill Nye.
Like transportation.
Transportation.
Yeah.
Thingamabob.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, what is it like when you disappear and you appear somewhere else?
You took teleportation.
Teleportation. Yeah. She used to be a K-pop star way back in the 2000s.
That's what I kind of want to do. Like, I want to be like the Bill Gates. Like, if I were to get stupid money, I go, man, if I got stupid money, oh, man, I want to save puppies. I want to save rainforests. Like, I want to do all that, but I don't got stupid money, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you had stupid money, but then you did stupid things with it.
Oh, yeah.
Smart money, I think, is what Bill Gates has.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
just
like,
to clarify, terms.
Yeah, people don't
do stupid
don't
money.
Don't
stupid.
Don't like. I want like actual stupid money. Like,
yeah.
I had
like fuck you money.
Fuck you money. But like to any young person or person struggling financially, don't trust people very much.
Don't trust anyone.
What? I know you probably have to talk around it.
Yeah.
But
yes.
What exactly?
And
who exactly?
Shitty friends. okay. pressuring you into things. People just like, honestly, I it still gets me sometimes when, like, you know, people are struggling. Like, you know, I
you had a lot of gimme.
Like, I was
a lot
like,
of help me.
Yeah, I'll help you. No, dude, it's cool. But then they ended up fucking me over. Sorry, I don't want to discourage people from dating, but, you know, dating is also very expensive and things can get serious a lot of the time.
True. This guy is very high maintenance and very expensive.
I need my things and I need them now.
But a lot of, honestly, a lot of my money is just going into, like, my videos, my music, and investing in, like my overhead, because I have overhead now.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
I have overhead costs.
That's exciting though.
Yeah.
Do you do your own books?
Yeah, I was doing my own books, but then I got but I recently got a CPA.
Wow.
So
nice.
I have someone doing my books for me, which is great because I don't have to go home every night, go through all my
check that flex.
You do know that I save all my, you know, I save all my receipts, right?
I that is something you should do. I totally save all my receipts.
We save our receipts, government. Okay.
I have all my this is
Amber.
Like the 2 week, I don't know if people can see this, but I have all my receipts here.
Amber, I'm disappointed because there are apps that you could save receipts in. You don't need the physical receipts anymore.
No, you okay?
Because they fade.
But they said to. But I don't keep it in the sun. I put it in a nice like little envelope.
No, they fade even in the envelope.
I mean, keep them in the envelope, but also take pictures first. Oh. Do you take pictures?
No.
Do you take pictures?
I'm learning these things.
Okay, you're very young.
Here's some shit they don't tell you. Okay?
This is shit they don't tell you.
And this is some shit that even when they do tell you, you forget to implement a lot.
That's for damn sure.
So you save your receipts and then take a picture immediately because that's when the ink is like fresh and like you can see it. Because if you were to get audited and you show them faded receipts or like they can't read the writing on it, then they can like mark that against you and you could, money, bless you.
Bless you.
So you take pictures and then there's apps that you can just like immediately store all the pictures in.
Okay, I'll do it.
It's dumb. It's stupid. But like so is the so are taxes and the IRS audits. Like IRS, you know what? The IRS
is lovely. Leave people alone, IRS. You leave them alone.
Stop calling me.
Amber.
Yes.
When you're sitting there and you I know you I don't know if you joked about you write something and you're like, I love this already. Mm-hmm. Have you struggled with a song, and how did you overcome the struggle?
That's also a very like heartfelt question.
Yeah,
it's very weird coming
from
you.
She doesn't struggle, why? Steve. She's a natural
I'm fabulous
artist.
24/7. No, excuse me.
I'm trying to help the people out there who are stuck.
There's actually a couple songs that a majority of the time when I'm writing, it actually comes in sections. I used to stress write. Like, as in, like, I would be stressing while I'm writing. Like, I'm actually, like, trying to push it out.
Oh, because the pressure of, like...
Yeah, I need to get this song done. I'm being ambitious. And I'm putting pressure on myself to, like, just write. I've learned that the best music and the music that I'm most proud of comes from when I am actually relaxed, like mentally relaxed, but I'm feeling things.
All of this comes back to sleep. You know what I've gathered from this?
I'm over the sleep talk.
Shit they don't tell you is that some fucking
you
sleep.
Need to fucking sleep. If you're out there not sleeping, listen to the rest of this podcast and then go to sleep.
Yeah, so I know they're like, I used to do a lot of songwriters and producers do this, but like a song a week. Try it. Don't feel bad if you don't succeed because I could not get through a song a week or even a song a day. Like,
write a song a week and do and record it and do it.
Yeah. So what I used to do was I used to do write a song a day because I'm not a producer, so I don't have the musical talents to like.
Is this a piano?
No, yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know this in the organ.
She's like, I don't know how to instruments.
Instrument what? And then but I used to write a song a day and I got so burnt out from that, but it was a good experience. To like know like where my limitations are. And then like when you're really pressured and you're trying to like write something in general or like do something, you try to your survival instincts come on and you're trying to actually like approach it a different way. Mm-hmm. Figuring out that is cool, but you're probably just don't be sad with the result.
Yeah, no, I think it's in a lot of different fields. So like in when I was writing stand up, writing a stand up bit a day and not judging that, just putting quantity, and you don't have to perform it. It's just the act and exercise of doing that.
And the deadline, deadline.
It makes it less precious to like to write stuff. So then you're actually more connected to the like creative headspace, and it'll things will flow better.
Actually, a lot of the songs that I've written were actually written like over the course of like couple months. So there's actually this one song that I actually haven't released yet. It took me 2 years to write it because I kept writing it, erasing it, writing it, erasing it, and then I kept the verse. I just kept that, and then yeah. I just kept going back and forth, and I just didn't feel right. I would sit on it for another couple weeks, visit again. Nope, got nothing. You know, so it's a slow process. But like not the next song. Oh yeah, the one that Numb, the song in my ex album, the songs Numb and Ready for the Ride were actually written really fast because Ready for the Ride, really funny. It's a cool song. I actually like that song a lot. It's not out yet, but stay tuned.
Follow the socials.
So the album's out, but this song's not out.
The album is 6 songs total, but okay. I'm releasing like one every couple weeks.
Gotcha.
But the next two, Numb was written because I scheduled a session with my producer and I'm all like, fuck, I think I should go in prepared. So I tried just strumming a couple things on the guitar and I came up with, I wrote like the half of the song out. So I'm like, okay, I got a good bass idea. Let's see what he'll spin on it. But then we ended up going to, when I was in the studio, I ended up just taking out all the verses and just keeping the chorus and just rewriting everything. So that was, it was really fast and very natural. Sorry guys, I'm also like, for people listening, I have this thing where I go, and that's when I'm like, flipping my imaginary hair.
Yeah.
Because I have short hair.
There's no hair, but I love that you still do the motion.
But Ready for the Ride was, I got inspired by a lot of 90s R&B, like Mariah Carey. I love that era of music. Yeah, but that song was written 30 minutes.
Oh,
because
wow.
My sister was picking me up and she was like, Amber, if you don't come out, I'm going to kill you. So I'm like, but we have 30 minutes left in the studio. That's right.
Yeah.
So.
But your muscles were already.
Helpful.
Yeah.
But your muscles were already moving.
Yeah.
Like.
So, it's every process is different. Everybody's like mindset is different. So it's just like for every artist out there who's just like writing, like give yourself some disciplinary like goals. Mm-hmm. Like a song a week is good. But just don't feel bad when you didn't achieve what you thought you were going to achieve.
Right. Like, so, don't make it precious.
Yeah.
But that song that you took you 2 years, how do you know when it's done? You're like, this is finally good. It's finally ready.
So I recently revisited it, like, because I was about to put it on this album, but I'm going to save it. And it's just because, like, when I re-listened to it, I'm like, do I want to add anything to it? And I was like, no, I think I like it. Because for me, with the song, like even though song's like not banging or like, oh my gosh, it's so catchy, I sometimes don't need that. I'm just like, is this song true to what I was feeling?
Yeah.
And does it do justice for if I'm writing it for somebody? Because I wrote that song about one of my really closest friends that actually passed away. So I was like, does this song really is it honest?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Because for me, it's just like I want to do my job, which is singing and performing with integrity and with honesty, or I'm a fucking liar. Like, I don't want to be a fucking liar. Dude, if I'm lying, you guys will know right away.
You're honestly one of the most authentic. You're like one of the most authentic people that I've ever met. Like, I wanted to get to this. We're almost at the end of the time, but I wanted to get to like, how the fuck do you stay so grounded and chill? Because you've always been so like, chill and like,
it's because I'm tired of bullshit. I'm a Virgo.
That's right. I surround myself with Virgos.
Very chill people.
Yeah, like, and the, it's just
they
like,
call me the Iceman. I'm so fucking chill.
If you're honest with yourself and people see that around you, if you make mistakes in honesty, mm-hmm. like you will learn from those and you will grow as a person rather than me being a fake person, me quote unquote making mistakes and not understanding why I made a mistake because I was faking things again. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, it's.
You don't learn.
It's another episode, but yes, that's the gist of it. Like, it's just, I don't like lying.
Yes.
No, I know. Look, a lot of people, they love to front for image purposes and you could have easily come here and been like, I've had a lot of success, a lot of success, a lot of success. You immediately said, a lot of success. I've also blew a fuck ton of money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just very honest. And that helps people. I think this other image shit hurts people.
And like, even saying that you're still finding yourself. And like,
to be really honest, like, there's a lot of young kids, like a lot of my fan base is young. Like, it's like for kids out there, money is not happiness. Money helps,
say
but it's not the most important
for the people
thing.
In the back.
And people have like, there's sometimes comments that I see like, oh my gosh, yeah, she's never gonna fucking be whatever FX was. She's a sell. Like, it's not a sell. She's a has been. I'm like, So, and I'm happy right now. I'm like really happy.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing my thing. I'm proud of what I do. I'm not perfect. I'm always trying to stay humble and level-headed. I have great friends like Steve and Nikki to tell me I'm a piece of shit when I'm a piece of shit. And I legit just like, I just want to be I just want to grow and learn how to be genuinely a good person.
That's so fucking rad. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you are not an idol, but like if you are being idolized by people out there, that is great. That's a great message that finally somebody is saying. I feel like these days with kids growing up on social media, it's like there's such a big placement on fame as being like a success or money and fame.
Yeah.
And I don't think they realize that that's not where happiness
and legit is. I remember when the term viral was made. I remember the business at the time was like, let's go viral. I'm like, guys, going viral is not a calculated thing. It is a natural thing. And sometimes going viral is not a good thing.
Yeah.
No.
Because
many times it isn't.
Oh man. That's a tough sled.
Oh my gosh. I love Steve.
That was a toughie.
Yeah. So all the kids out there, don't sacrifice your integrity to be famous. That it's stupid. It destroys people. And I do a lot of my friends who were actually somewhat rising K-pop idols or were really biggest K-pop idols now have nothing. They just were like, why did I do all that? It was stupid. Why was I chasing fame? Why was I chasing the appreciation of others rather than I just want to learn to connect with people? People just, they're legit, so many people just want to just get famous and get fans.
Well, they view fame as the solution to their problem. So that fame is the rocket that gets them into space and then they'll figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah, and there's there's so many artists out there and yesterday I was watching Kristen Bell. Sorry, I love Kristen Bell. She's so cool. The one thing that I try to learn from her was that when she's talking to fans and kids, she I don't know, I Kristen Bell, I don't know what you're doing, but it's working. She treats every relationship as a one-on-one thing.
It's coming from a good place.
I don't get it.
Okay, well, that's the rest of our time. I'll explain it to you later. Okay. I think that was a great final thought, actually. Yeah. We do the thing at the end called final thoughts, and I think that was a really good one to end on. Where can they find you? When are you going on tour? What are all the things?
I'm going on tour mid-January to the end of February in 24 cities across North America, which is basically 23 cities in the U.S. and one Vancouver.
Is there a website that they can see all the tour dates and
AmberLouOfficial.com. is my website. You can find the ticket tab and clickies. My last name is spelled LIU, and Amber's Amber. AmberLouOfficial.com. Please get tickets there.
Hell yeah! And you can see find her on Instagram. Watch all the stories, all that kind of stuff. Steve.
Yes, my final thought is that everyone I ever idolized was deeply flawed, and perhaps even alcoholic, but they were real people, and it made it so that when I looked at them, I'm like, you can actually be that person. There's not special people out there. Nobody's special. There's just real people out there, and you can choose who to follow to make you can choose whose example you want to follow.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess mine goes along the same lines of I just used to feel like I had to act and be a certain way, and I was really ashamed of my weirdness.
Yeah.
And and I feel like I was isolated because of that. I got picked on a lot, and I was always trying to, fit in. And letting go of that and, embracing your weird and, embracing, who you really are has been the most freeing thing. And it's only been in the past 10 years, I feel like, that I really embrace that. And, so if you're out there and you're like, how can I do to get famous? Don't stop. Stop doing that.
And there's a... My final thought is, to add on to Nikki's is, once you start embracing you and your quote unquote flaws, which might be perfections to somebody else, perfect stuff to somebody else. You will feel the difference between people who actually appreciate you for who you are and people who appreciate you for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really I remember just being surrounded by very toxic people. And I didn't know they were toxic, though.
Right. They're so good.
But then once something hit the fan, or I wasn't as famous as I used to be. The people change, like, and I'm like I can still hit up Nikki and be like, "Yo, Nikki, what are you doing?" And we can be goofy together and stupid, and people like having that connection.
Yes.
Is way more fun and way more like rewarding, and it's just like
real friends.
It's real friends.
So many stories. But listen to Amber; she got the good shit. Follow her on all the social medias. We'll put links in the descriptions. Album. Go get the album. Download it everywhere. Go see her on
She's
tour.
She's pushing tour.
And
I'm legit promoting tour right now.
Yep.
Go to my tour, please.
Go to her tour. We are going to her tour.
Yep, we are.
Please.
Are you playing in LA?
Well, yes, I'm at the Wheel Turn in
Beautiful.
LA.
Beautiful. We'll be there.
Yes. Yeah, you. January. Yeah, come if you guys want to stalk Nikki and Steve. They'll be at my show.
We'll be there. Also, you can stalk us at podcast@nikki.limo. And we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Goodbye.
Iceman out.